The Pasco County DEC is providing this podcast as a public service in order to let you know more about the issues and ideas which Democrats have identified as being very important for voters, and also to provide a forum for Democratic candidates for office. Our podcasts are open to anyone interested in how Pasco Democrats are dealing with the important issues of the day. You can check out our PascoDems.com website and also on Facebook, Pasco Dems, and the views expressed by the guest and host on our podcast are their own, and not the official views of the Pasco County Democratic Party or Democratic Executive Committee. Today's guest is Brandi Giott, a Democratic activist and a former candidate for District 5 of the Board of County Commissioners, and we're really quite happy to have her here today.
Right. So my name is Brandi Giott, and my last name is the strange last name of G-E-O-I-T. Why I became a Democrat? I've always been a Democrat. Growing up in Michigan with a working class family and growing up around unions, being a Democrat was just a given. It is the party that often fights for the working class, supports the labor movement, understands and protects the environment, and works towards improving the quality of life for everyone. We're the big tent party, and we are the party that basically embraces everyone. It's a come-as-you-are party, and unfortunately, a lot of Democrats have forgotten that here in the most recent days. A little bit about me. I am a single mom, grew up working class. I'm one of six children. My dad retired from General Motors. I grew up in Michigan and moved down here. I was the first person in my family to go to college, which to my grandmother was a big deal. She and my grandfather never graduated from high school. They had 14 children, and it was my grandma's determination that all 14 of her kids would graduate from high school and not drop out in the eighth grade like they did to go and work the farms. Because that is what you used to do back in the day, is you would drop out to go and work the farms. So growing up with a lot of, you know, the working class, the farm families, I grew up both urban and rural. I was raised by a single dad. My biological mother was an addict. She passed away last August. I was raised by him. It grew up differently than most kids. I have also my maternal grandmother was also an addict. So we have a lot of different things and issues that I was exposed to growing up that most people weren't. So a lot of what I talk about is ways that we can improve the quality of life for everyone. My daughter is always my number one priority. And of course, I have been getting a lot of calls from parents recently involving the schools and what they can do to keep their kids safe. So that's a little bit about me and why I am a Democrat.
Okay. Now, let me just add this to your story, because I grew up in northern New York State, and out of my grandmother and grandfather had 19 children, six of whom died in infancy. So I had 13 aunts and uncles. And out of the 300 cousins I had, I was the first to go to college. And so I appreciate, you know, your situation when you're the first. Because let's face it, when we grew up, it was a farming community for the most part. And yep. Kids didn't go away to college for the most part. What they did was they worked the farm. So that was that. Anyway, I just want to mention that as kind of a connection between the two of us. There are several issues that will come up. I'm going to ask you a flat-out one right now, and that is this. I don't really like the Flip Pasco Blue thing. It seems to me that when you were out registered by, 40,000 or more people, it should not be a matter of flipping Pasco Blue. Democrats should be working on something else. And so I'm wondering if you might give me an idea as what Democrats should be working on.
Yeah, it's something that I've been fighting with since my first campaign, is we continue to ignore the voters during non-election years. And we need to be talking to voters about the kitchen table politics. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing that I hear from people all the time is, well, I can't believe you're a Democrat. You don't talk down to me. And it's very frustrating, because I'm like, well, here's the thing. I apologize if other Democrats have, you know, talked down to you and belittled you. We need to actually get to the voters and talk to them year round and stop treating them like, you know, they're a one night stand that we only need once every two years.
Yeah.
That's not a way to engage the voters and to talk to them about how we are there to fight for the issues that they want to, you know, get taken care of. Like, overdevelopment here in Pasco is a cross-the-platform, you know, issue that we're dealing with, where we're going to deal with water shortages. The county commissioners have no idea how many permits they have out there for old builds, new builds, anything at this point in time. But when you talk to the employees at Pasco County, you hear that they are currently doing addresses for close to a million different commercial and residential developments.
Right.
And the commissioners have no idea. We don't have a plan for expanding the infrastructure here. Nobody wants to talk about wastewater treatment or water and what we're going to do for 1 million new residents that we are currently permitting and creating addresses for. But yet we ignore the west side and we pretend that the poverty, the environmental issues, the poop water that we deal with over here isn't a problem. We continue to brush it off. So west side voters eventually get to the point, well, it's just Pasco. That's the way it is. There's no way to change that. And it gets to be very frustrating because you're like, no, if you continue to vote in the same people over and over and over again, yeah, nothing is going to change. We continue to vote here on people based upon their last name, not based upon, you know, their actual record or whether or not they actually cared enough to show up and do something about what's going on here in our county.
Right. Now, one of the main reasons that I started doing these podcasts coincides with what you were talking about in terms of not talking down to other people. My thought is this: if somebody wants to know about Democrat positions on the issues facing us here in Pasco, and other issues as well, of course, let's let real people be interviewed, make a podcast, so that when somebody out there is listening, they say, oh, I understand where that person's coming from because, you know, I can relate to that person. It's not sometimes, let's face it, I mean, I've done about 8 or 9 political candidates so far, and not one of them was ever talking down, and I thought that was very good. So it's a good point for you to make, and I'm sure the podcast we're doing are going to go along with that. So when you talk about now kitchen table politics, let's start, first of all, in terms of Pasco. Let's list some more of those issues, and then we'll talk about
the
maybe
some
others.
The basic kitchen table politics here in Pasco.
Yeah.
The number one thing that I'm dealing with right now that I'm getting, like, nonstop messages and phone calls from voters about is COVID. The schools, COVID, the outbreak, everything else that they're worried about like that. So there's number one. Number two, overdevelopment. The fact that our county commissioners treated them horribly. One of the local communities here showed up to say, we are a rural community. We don't want this built here. And the county commissioners there kind of treated them like a let them eat cake and voted it in. And now we're seeing it out in East Pasco where they were like, well, he's a farmer. Why would he want to do that? Well, because he wants to make money. He doesn't care. So then we also have the issues of the environmental problems that we have here in Pasco County. When we talk about the poop water, when we talk about the wastewater treatment purges that we've had where they blow it off, well, like they're like, well, it was only 2 million gallons of untreated wastewater that dumped out of, you know, these two wastewater treatment plants. It's no big deal. And they brush it off. And of course, roads and how we fund roads and the many, many fatalities that we're having on our roads here in Pasco and how a lot of our commissioners and a lot of our elected officials just blow it off and say, well, we'll just increase the number of acceptable fatalities and pretend it's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things for, that I'm going to try to enlist your help on, I've tried to do it several times now. You know, there's this course that people can take to know Pasco County. It's they go through all the departments in Pasco County. You attend lectures and so forth. And I once suggested, look, most of us can't do that sort of thing. We don't have the time. However, why don't they simply do a video, an hour-long video, where they do talk to the department heads. The department heads talk a little bit about what their department does and try to educate our community about our county and how it works, because what you're talking about, you really have to know a bit about how the county works in order to do something about these issues, right?
You do, and that's a lot of it where they try to keep it, you know, low key where you don't know this, you have a lot of people moving down here now. And we're seeing a housing shortage, a massive housing shortage, and rents going up. And a few of the people are saying, well, I didn't know. And they moved from northern states with fully funded schools,
yeah,
where they're like, I didn't realize I had to buy toilet paper down here. I feel like I should sue the school district. And I kind of low-key go, well, you should be paying attention to the fact that we don't have a state income tax here to pay for these things. Like states like Michigan, New York, mm-hmm. Ohio, all of the states in the north do,
right,
where they pay for the schools, where parents don't have to pay for toilet paper, for school supplies for the entire school. So it gets to the point where people are like, wait, what? And I'll be like, and it's, you have toilet paper shortages in some of the schools, and it's because they are in the poorer end of the school district. And people are like, oh, no, we share the tax dollars evenly for the schools. And I said, here's the thing. They say they do, but when you look at schools like our, you know, Wesley Chapel schools that are fully funded, I've never heard them post that they are in need of toilet paper. But
yeah,
when I look at the schools over in Hudson, where you do have a higher density of poverty, or over in Holiday, they are posting usually near the end of the year, they have a shortage of toilet paper. They're in need of donations of toilet paper. They're in need of donations of pencils, of, you know, all of these things that parents, you know, in Wesley Chapel, you know, mm-hmm. a more less impoverished area, not saying they don't have poverty there, but they're able to get those just by asking at the beginning of the year. It's a whole, the distribution of resources that people assume from moving down here is going to be the same. It's like a wake-up call, and they get really frustrated. And a lot of the other phone calls I receive are about the accidents and the fatalities on 54, on US 19. And they say they wait hours for someone to show up. One gentleman reached out to me because he goes, I don't understand why the sheriff's department didn't do it. And I said, well, I'm going to be honest. They don't do any traffic reports for crashes. They will show up and direct traffic, but they are not certified in doing that. Our police mm-hmm. academies here don't automatically certify you in running radar or teaching you how to do the crash reports. And you have to have those certifications.
Yeah.
And why is it that our police academies don't have individual, like, showing you, you're going to be trained in running radar. You're going to be trained in doing accident reports. Because FHP covers all of the accidents. That is their job, and we only have so many FHP officers in this county. So why isn't the sheriff picking up their end? And a lot of people have been writing the commissioners about it, and I said, unfortunately, you got to write the governor.
Yeah.
He is a constitutional officer,
mm-hmm.
and that is who he answers to.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, I didn't realize that. I said, constitutional officers answer to the governor. And as much as you can write to the commissioners and complain to the commissioners about this, this is how the county is set up. And that's that barrier of people don't realize how things are here without having that education about this is how the political system works here. This is how all of these county things are run here. And people get really frustrated and angry, and they eventually just say, I'm giving up. I can't keep doing this anymore.
Yeah. Now, I spent 30 years in the classroom, and so did Nola, and up north. And, you know, we tried really hard. We had a good progressive school, and we had a lot of kids that went on to college and so forth. It looks to me like Democrats have to come up with this education campaign to educate voters. But before that, I've got a person like you, and I'm going to ask you this. How do you educate yourself on these issues?
Well, I do a lot of research. I look at a lot of things. I use this thing called the Google a lot to find out and make sure stuff is correct. I fact check. I look into, I read. I actually pay attention a lot of the articles in the Tampa Bay Times as well. But at the same time, you know, everybody says to me, I don't understand how you can do all of this. I'm a multitasker. As a single mom growing up, working class family and farm life, you learn how to multitask.
Yeah.
And growing up with just my dad and my brothers for the first 10 years of my life, it was basically, you know, this is how we do it. You've got to be able to do more than one thing at once. But not everybody can do that. And they say it's overwhelming. And I get that. But at the same time, it's our lack of knowledge that has continued to bring us to where we are now.
Yeah.
Like, I had someone tell me that it's all the Democrats we have elected in Pasco. That's why we have all these issues. And I said, name one.
Yeah.
And they sat there and they said, all of our commissioners. And they said, no, all of them are Republicans. They're like, our sheriff. I said, no, he's a Republican.
Uh-huh.
And I said, name one Democrat elected here in Pasco County. And they get really quiet and think about it. And they're like, I didn't realize. And then a lot of it is people get really frustrated. And I've even talked to some Democrats who said, well, I just don't understand how they don't have time to vote. And I said, here's the thing. They're more worried about paying their bills. They're more worried about making sure that their kids get to school. They're more worried about everything impacting their daily life. That, yeah, to you, taking an hour out to go and stand in line to vote is no big deal. But to them, it could be, you know, two yeah. hours worth of work that they're missing out on. And, yeah, vote by mail is key, but getting them to understand why they need to do it, how they need to do it, that's where we need to start talking to people, because you have more voter turnout when you're actually talking to the voters and explaining, this is why you need to vote by mail. This is why you need to vote the whole ballot. And these are the candidates that are going to fight for you. I had a lot of people say, well, I never realized I could vote by mail, only by absentee. And I said, no, Florida is a vote by mail state that actually was pushed by the Republicans originally. But now, you know, they're claiming voter fraud. And I said, but at the same time, they're showing that that didn't exist. And they check these ballots. They check them very clearly. They make sure your signatures match. I've had people get their ballots rejected because they've had strokes. They have MS. They have disabilities. So their signatures aren't going to match perfectly every time. It's an easy fix, but you've got to get to the supervisor of elections to fix that.
Right. Now, it's kind of interesting when we're talking about the vote by mail. I'm going to have Brian Corley on in sometime in the next few months and make sure he brings us up to date in terms of voting issues and so forth. And I think we're, frankly, quite lucky to have someone like Brian, who is our supervisor of elections. He's done, I think, a great job. Now, let me go on with something else here in terms of what do you think is the best way for the Democrats to get organized in getting people to go to meetings and to make their voice heard? How can we educate people to do that if they can get the time to do it?
All right. First step, you guys need phone banks. Yeah, we have over 100 precincts here in Pasco County, and not every precinct has a precinct captain. But at the same time, there are Democrats who reside in those precincts. Start with creating a Democrat-based phone bank for okay. each and every precinct and assign them to the clubs. Just saying, hey, come on out, come to a meeting, join us, you can check us out, even follow us on social media. Because, believe it or not, people do answer the phone. And people will say, no, they don't. And I'd be like, you would be surprised. Because I took a work-from-home job when I got laid off from COVID, and it was doing telemarketing. People answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Stop believing that hype. People will pick up. You just need to reach out and just start calling. Just start finding club members to start calling. For club members that don't feel comfortable calling, each club can do a mailing list through the system that we use, and create a mailing list and do postcards. You don't need to rely on the DEC to do those postcards. Each club has access to that database. Each
yeah.
club can do that. Say, hey, you're over here by me. Come join us at this meeting.
Yeah.
And start. When people show up, say hi to them. Don't ignore them.
Yeah.
Don't treat them like stranger danger. Talk
yeah.
to them.
Yeah.
Have your most personable club member say hello.
Yeah.
Because we all are like, what? I said, when you engage people, you get them more active. You get them more involved. And find out, how did you hear about the club? And start doing that. And stop, you know, going, hey. And the other thing, we need to stop hiding. We need to stop pretending that being a Democrat is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because Democrats have done some amazing things. Created Social Security, Medicare, done so many great things. The Civil Rights Act, all of these things are Democrat things. And we pretend and hide, and everybody's like, oh, it's because the other side is scary. No, the more we hide, the more it seems like we're ashamed of who we are. And I was never raised to be ashamed of who I am. And that's the thing. Maybe it's because I was raised different, maybe growing up in a union household, maybe growing up in a male-dominated household, because it was my dad and my brothers for the longest time. I was never taught that my opinions didn't matter. And that's the thing. We need to start bringing in the new blood. We need to start engaging the new blood. And we need to have people running for every seat in every election.
Yeah.
And that even counts for city council seats.
Yeah.
So that's where calling into these precincts matters. That's where reaching out with the postcards matters. Because you're going to find those activists in those areas that are able to talk about these issues, that are able to fight for these issues, and that actually care about the people that live near them. And that's the thing. We need to start showing people that we have candidates that care. And when a candidate loses, for them to just take their ball and go home and pretend like they're never going to be involved again shows that we don't have the staying power.
Yeah.
It's time for us to sit there and say, you know what? I've lost twice, and everybody's like, I would be devastated. Here's the thing. We're not going to win every fight. Growing up union, as my dad always told me, you're never going to win every battle. Never. He goes, but you know what? The unions knew that from the get-go. They understood they weren't going to win every single fight, but they fought for the fights that matter. And as long as you're fighting for the fights that matter, that is what's going to be key.
Well, listen, I think we've covered a couple of things today. And what I'm going to do is set it up sometime in the next couple of 3 months. We'll do this again. And in between then, let's come up with maybe one or two issues and really explore what we can during those times, okay?
Not a problem. Hopefully, good. I did good. And let me know. Where is this going to be posted?
It'll be on the PascoDems.com website probably in an hour or two. I set it off
to
a fellow. He puts it up. Okay? So take a listen.
All right.
See what you got. Take notes. And I'm really glad for your time. Thank you very much, not only for today,
thank
but the
you.
Time you put in.
And thank you for doing this. You have a great day, Cal.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.